It's on fire. They race in and bring a man out, and they said, "Sir, sir, can you tell me what happened?" And the Irishman says, "Don't know. 'Twas that way when I went in." There's all my levity of my Irish humor for the day. Okay, let's keep it going. With what? With what? All that matters is love. That's right.
Operator, get me the number, please, of George Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N, at 4411 Huguenot Walloon Drive.
That is George Kaplan.
Yes, that's right.
That is Kaplan.
Mm-hmm, yes.
That is K, as in knife. A, as in aardvark. P as in pneumonia, L as in luscious, A as in aardvark again, N as in newel post. Kaplan?
I think so, yes.
Just one moment, I will look that number up for you.
Right, thank you very much. Operator, if you could try to hurry a little bit.
I am looking the number up for you.
I don't mean to rush you at all. It's just that I'm terrifically late, and
that
I thought
number is listed in your directory.
Operator, there is no directory here. I swear to God.
Will you please take a pencil and
yes.
write the number
yes.
down?
I promise I definitely will, yes.
That number is
Hello,
Fairfax
hello,
9.
Operator, hello,
Information,
hello,
information.
Operator, you collected my dime.
Information is a free service, sir. When you hang up, your dime will be returned to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, miss, listen, I know it's usually a free service. See, the thing is, in this case, I heard the dime, you know, hit all those other dimes. See, I know it's in there. And I wouldn't bother you about a dime, operator. In this case, miss, it's my last dime. I have no change. My car has broken down, and I'm an hour late for a very important appointment. So you can see... Hello?
Information.
Oh, no. Miss, yes. please return my dime.
Sir, I cannot return your dime to you until you hang up. And when you hang up, your dime will be returned to you.
No, it won't. Operator, listen to me. I know that sound. I've heard it all my life. That dime is in there.
Information cannot argue with a closed mind. No. Why don't you try hanging up?
Because... I can't take the chance. I'll lose the dime. I'll lose you. Look, miss, can I go over your head? Is there someone else I can speak to? A human?
You wish to speak to a human?
Yes.
About your alleged dime?
It's a real dime.
Just one moment. I will connect you with the information supervisor.
Oh, thank you very much. Hello, miss? Operator? Hello?
Information.
Listen, there's no chance that you would... say, jostle something with your elbow and just cut me off completely.
We do not work with our elbows,
sure.
sir.
Come on.
Information supervisor, can I help you?
I sincerely hope so.
Yes, sir.
Just a minute ago, operator.
Supervisor. Oh, I'm information supervisor.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
Just a minute ago, one of your girls inadvertently collected my last dime. And you see,
information doesn't charge a dime.
Yeah, no, look, miss, I've already
no,
gone through...
No, when you hang up, you see, your dime will be returned to you.
The other girl...
Information is a completely free service.
Not tonight! Now, miss... Please try to understand what I'm saying to you. I'm speaking as one human being to another. Forget that you're an operator.
I'm a supervisor.
All right, fine.
Supervisor.
All right, supervisor. Bell Telephone has stolen my last dime. That's what it comes down
just
to.
A minute,
and well, you stole it. I put it in the telephone and you took
minute,
it away.
You know.
It's
I mean, Bell Telephone
course, well,
wouldn't steal your dime.
They have stolen
my dime. No, I mean, Bell Telephone
dime.
Doesn't yeah. need
I,
your
I,
dime.
Well, I know. That's
the
exactly
Bell Telephone
my point.
Gets millions of dimes
yeah,
every day. They wouldn't
yeah,
pick
right,
out your
right.
dime
well,
to steal. You
they
know.
Stole it. Damn it. They stole it.
I'm not going to sit here and argue with you.
Well, now, miss, look,
I mean, you mean to sit there and tell me that you think that the Bell Telephone Company has stolen your dime?
That is what I've been telling you now for 20 minutes.
That I'll be very happy to return your dime to you.
You will?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Not at all. What is your name and address?
Miss?
Yes?
You're going to send me a whole lot of stamps, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
I knew
right.
it. Look, I've received stamps from you people in the past, and it's a swell surprise. I need the dime now. Look, can I go over your head? Is there someone else I can speak to?
Well, I could connect you with the managing supervisor, Miss Jones.
Yes.
You wouldn't be able to help you either. If you run and give it a whirl.
Miss Jones, please. And please hurry.
Just hold the line. Managing Supervisor Miss Jones, can I help you?
Oh, Miss Jones. I'm so glad I finally got a hold of you.
What is it, sir?
Miss Jones, this is my story.
Yes, yes, I'm here.
Oh.
Miss Jones, a long time ago, one of your operators inadvertently collected my last dime.
Oh, my God.
Yes. You see, as I explained to her, I'm sorry, Miss Jones. I don't usually do this.
No, sir, you go ahead and cry.
Thank you.
No, Bell Telephone understands.
You're very kind.
No, you've lost your dime.
No, she took it and I have to have it back.
Well, of course you do, sir. And Bell Telephone will be very happy to give you a free call for that dime.
Oh, Miss Jones.
Yes, sir.
If this is true, I'll never forget you as long as I live.
Well, it's true.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Jones.
No, no,
thank
no.
Thank you.
Our pleasure to serve you.
Thank you.
You just give me the number you're calling.
Miss Jones.
Yes, sir.
You're dealing here with an ass. You see, she took the dime before I ever got the number. Look, we'll forget it. I'll lose my job. That's
sir,
all.
There's no need to take that attitude.
No?
Not at all. You can simply give me the name of the party you're calling. I can look that number up for you.
Grand. The name is George Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N, is in Newell Post. Yes.
One moment.
Yes.
Hello, sir.
Yes,
I have that number for you.
Yes.
That number is Fairfax 91975.
1975. Tell me what to do.
Hold on to your receiver.
Right, check, right.
Until you hear the dial tone.
Wait for the dial tone.
Then dial your number, sir.
Dial as I ordinarily would.
You have a free call.
Thank you, Miss Jones. I'll never forget you.
This is a recording. You have dialed a wrong exchange.
That was Nichols and May, and now Little Carozza with Infinite Pain.
Please hold. Infinite patience. Aye, 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 aye. A year has passed, and your family wants you to know it's time to laugh, to have a blast. There's so little time left to go. You may have regrets, your dreams may die, your grip with failure getting firmer. We love you, Dad. You're quite a guy that's named Burl Murmur. Thanks, kids.
Oh, isn't that wonderful, Burl? All our little murmurs have sacrificed themselves selflessly to buy you that tie clasp. I have never been so moved in my entire life.
Charles, Gert, Burbert, you three kids are the greatest gifts any man could have. And now this tie clasp. Eesh. I'm so thrilled. I never knew a man could be as thrilled as this. Thank you all so much.
I wrote the poem. Burbert picked the gift and Gert drew the picture. Oh, Gert. What a lovely rendition of a
war. It's a drawing of how I view the aftermath of World War III, which is inescapable due to the short-sighted political moves of your generation, leaving us, the fledglings, to deal with the apocalyptic consequences. I didn't want to tell you, but I must. I am so outraged by the hypocrisy. I'm marrying Sludge. We're joining the cult of egotism and moving to Guam to form an ashram for those people who can type but don't want to.
Gert, why, I don't understand.
I understand this. I love Sludge, he loves me, and that is that.
Dad, I didn't want to say anything, but since Gert dropped her load, I might as well do the same. I've been accused of manslaughter, and 7 people witnessed it.
Burbert.
I'm going to plead insanity, though, of course. It should be no problem to prove because of my effervescent wit and dazzling charm. Should be no problem. You'll be real proud of me yet.
Some birthday this has turned out to be. I'm destroyed, utterly destroyed. I never knew a man could be as destroyed as this.
Burbert. Manslaughter? Why, you can't even watch us carve a turkey.
It was self-defense. I mistook a cane for a gun.
Manslaughter? If you were going to slaughter someone, don't you think it could have been Sludge?
Huh, that's a fine thing to say about your future son-in-law, the man I love.
No, stop, everybody. I have some news, too.
Well, what's it going to be, Cheryl? A disease? An abortion? An addiction? What?
Well, I didn't want to say anything, but I've been accepted into the Oxford University School of Journalism. The novella that I submitted with my application has earned me the Fulbright scholarship for the entire duration of my studies there. My collection of poems and short stories has been honored with the Eudora Welty Award for Alliteration, and it has been bought for publication by Viking Penguin Press with the contingency that I accept a very lucrative lecture tour voicing all the glimmering possibilities of a poetic world.
Well, Cheryl, we've always suspected there was a black sheep in the family. We never had an inkling it was you. But seeing that you're so articulate and seeing that this is your gift, I can't help but wondering what side of the family you get it from. The murmurs have always been introverted.
It couldn't be my side. My side of the family has always been uncomfortable with anything to do with words.
But it appears you've been gifted with this sort of thing, and if that is your life choice, we extend our continued love, support, and congratulations. Here, honey, this is really your day, not mine.
What's so great about her? What about us?
We're grounded.
Yeah, but when you see my picture in the paper, you'll say, there's our precious son, Burbert Murmur, the murderer.
I don't know what I'm going to say when I see your picture in the paper or on the nose. I've had it with a watery, upstart attitude from the president. I'm still ahead of this, and I'll rule mine with an iron fist. It might be my birthday. You might be singing. You might give me a pipeline. This story is not over yet. If I have anything to say about it at all, I'm still where the path
Christmas family. I'm still alone. I don't think it's fair to assume that I would fuck this off.
That was from a video Tom did. The Murmurs. Pretty funny. Joe Purse, Clara Rodriguez, Nancy Lombardo, Tom Carozza, and Sharon Breslow. Pretty funny sketch. That Tom Carozza, always ahead of his time. Gotta love him. He's Tommy. Let's see if anybody's in the chat room. Yes, Betty Jo Tucker. Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Attic Headquarters, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. This week it's Michael Caine. She will be doing something on Michael Caine because he is such a featured actor, don't you know? That was for you, Betty Jo. All righty. Let's keep it going on this St. Patrick's Day. I don't know what... I thought I wish I had some Irish something or another for to give to you today. I think I have something somewhere, but I have to find it. Find it at Irish. It's crazy in New York. The parade's on, I'm sure. I'm sure. I haven't even looked at the window, but I don't know about you and the rest of the world. New York City is crazy today, and... with all that ice, everybody, please don't start drinking early. Save it for later. And eat something. Your corned beef and cabbage or whatever that is that you eat on a day like today. But I would do that. Let's start with that, huh? That make it very nice for you. All righty. Let's see. All I got here.
Guy's weaving down the road when a cop pulls him over. Cop comes up and says, "Hey, pal, did you know your wife fell out a few blocks back?" The guy says, "Thank God. I thought I went deaf." A guy meets a girl in a bar, and they go back to her apartment. They go into her bedroom, and one wall from floor to ceiling, left to right, the entire wall is full of fluffy toys. Fluffy, fluffy, fluffy toys. Floor to ceiling, side to side, fluffy toys. They get it on. When they get done, he says, "How was I?" She says, "Take anything from the bottom shelf."
Mulligan. Mulligan's an Irish name. You know, Americans, we're funny. You know, I mean, we're all American. We all love being American, but we're all from someplace else. Have you noticed that? And I don't know about other nationalities, but Irish people go nuts when they hear an Irish last name. Thank you for proving my point. I met some guy the other day. It's like, Joe Mulligan. Look at your name, Joe Mulligan. Oh, what a fine Irish name you have. Ah, Joe. Oh, Joe, I see the little pink hearts and the yellow moons and the green clovers, your lucky charms, Joe. Irish spring, I use it too, Joe. It's a manly scent, Joe, a manly scent. Have you been to Ireland, Joe? You haven't? Ah, Joe, go. Joe, go, Joe, where you go, Joe, where you go. Find out about your ancestors in Ireland, Joe. Your ancestors, it's important you go, Joe, Joe. Which was annoying, because he was from Korea. But I took his advice, and I went to Ireland, and something very interesting I found out about my ancestors. They're dead. So it was a short trip, really. Graveyard, U-turn, airport, pretty much, you know? I had a beer and a potato and came back home to my hometown. I am from New York City. Thank you, thank you. I used to live in Manhattan, live in Brooklyn now. I used to live in the tough part of Manhattan too, over on the west side. I lived in Hell's Kitchen. I was there in the late 70s. That was a nasty neighborhood. It's better now, but 10th Avenue back then. 10th Avenue was the kind of place where they just hated you if you were a stranger. They would just stare at you. I saw this guy one day. Hey, do I know you? So why are you talking to me, huh? Next time you see me, don't talk to me. I said, "Excuse me, officer." I'll find the post office myself.
George Bettinger, the Mom and Pop Shop, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 4 p.m. Go to Tune In right here in Miramar. Tune In right here in Miramar, 4 p.m. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and follow him on Facebook. Okay, people, thank you for joining in. Let's go off with a little Christopher McGinnis and me improvising.
I once dreamed.
It's a lot of fun.
I'm being chased through a dollhouse by a white lobster that wore glitter and spoke with a French accent. Now, what this meant, I'll never know. But I do know if I told anybody, I'd be labeled a lunatic. And labeling's wrong. My letters for the public good. Let's say you're at a party, and you can take out a labeling gun and start tagging people like they do in Wild Kingdom. Wacko. Loser. You're so friendly. That would really be good. But not too friendly like the guys in the office, or your boss who's really nice. Except in an earthquake, you'd really be thinking, he's old, he's slow, I can beat him to the Georgia. Oh yeah, LA's a jammed up situation. I have enough faults, I wouldn't purposely build my home over one. The one time I was naive enough to think that generic food was for the elderly. It made sense to me at the time, all those big black and white labels. And then a friend pointed out, Nancy, there's a difference between generic and geriatric. Boy, did I feel foolish not to be confused with that. But I do think they have a lot to do with each other, since men tend to do a lot of thinking from that area. What all this has to do with nothing is, don't you know? How my brain works and connects things. Like so. So anytime you think I'm crazy, you're probably
bye-bye.